one of the most fascinating Sfarim in Tanakh with regard to portrayals and portraitures of women. There are some very interesting women depicted within Sefer Mishle. They are given interesting dialogue, parts to play. They are graphically described and depicted. But curiously, they have no proper names, no specific identities. They're described by colorful epithets. Eshet Chayil, so-called woman of valor. Eshet Ksilut, a woman of folly. Isha Zara, a strange woman. Isha Nochriya, a foreign woman. Who are these women? And what are we supposed to learn from them? Are they depicting specific individuals? Or are they prototypes or stereotypes of a large class of women within society at large? In order to understand the portraiture of these women in Sefer Mishle, we must take into consideration, first, the infrastructure, the framework provided for us by the author, Shlomo HaMelech, at the beginning of this work in Tanakh. Unusually for a Sefer in Tanakh, Shlomo provides us with a prologue, a rather detailed one, determining what one scholar calls the flight plan or the roadmap, delineating exactly what he intends to accomplish within Sefer Mishle. In source number one in your booklet, we learn Mishle Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael. Words of wisdom are going to be imparted to us by Shlomo HaMelech, who was already a king over Israel, not in his early youth, but as an established monarch. And we read, Lada'at chokhma u'musar, lehavin imreivina, lakachat musar asker tzedek u'mishpat u'mesharim, latet liftaim orma lena'a, da'at u'mizima, shma chacham v'yosef lekach, ונבון תחבולות יקנה, להבין משל וקבוצה דברי חכמים וחידותם. Notice the infinitive verbs, to know, understand, absorb, to provide one with lessons. There's a lot of learning in Sefer Mishle. What does Sefer Mishle provide an individual with? Chochma, wisdom, musar, discipline, Bina, insight, intuitive understanding. Musa, skill, a way to dig deeper. Know how to be a Jew through tzedek, mishpat, u'mesharim. Learning to how to act in just and righteous ways in a straightforward and fair manner. To give the petty, the gullible young fool, the young person with, and yes, by the way, yes, Sefer Mishle is addressing the young people of every generation of Am Yisrael. To give them what? Oma, mizima. Oma you usually think of in a negative sense, cunning, guile. Here Shlomo did a little twist. This young person needs to be armed with cunning, but in a positive way. Prudence, shrewdness, to have foresight, not to act on impulse, to take a step back, thinking about what he will do with what is before him. This young person, this na'a, needs to be provided with mizima, also a term that usually has negative connotations. For example, we think about the term edim zomamim, witnesses who lie and scheme, plan for malicious purposes. But here Shlomo says a little planning and scheming could be a good thing if it's used in the proper way. You need to have a plan. You need to have forethought. To be armed with knowledge how to deal with various circumstances in life. So Sefer Mishle is very much a practical, down-to-earth, realistic, pragmatic day-to-day guide how to conduct ourselves to be true Torah Jews. But it is not only addressed to the young, vulnerable individual. No, even the Chacham, the Navon, even the individual who is already wise, needs to listen and absorb the teachings of Sefer Mishlei. These teachings will enhance Lekach, their understanding of moral lessons in the Sefer. It will help them acquire Tachbulot, a very interesting term, trickery, but in a positive sense. They will know the tricks of life, how to muddle through the quagmires and the obstacles and traps that life provides for you. You need the tricks of the trade, and this is what Sefer Mishlei provides. To be a wise person in Sefer Mishlei, and Sa'adya Gaon actually renames the Sefer in Tanakh as Sefer Drishat HaChokhmah, the book in which one seeks and inquires and wants to achieve wisdom. How can one become a wise person by studying the Sefer? Chokhmah in Sefer Mishlei does not merely involve knowing, having the knowledge, but it involves absorbing these wisdom teachings into every fiber of your being so that it takes over your whole essence. It becomes a roadmap to everything that you do in life. It's not enough to know Sefer Mishlei. The question is, what do you do with what you know? How do you put it into action? Do you act in a way of tzedek, mishpat, and meisharim? To be a wise person, as one scholar says, is to take the chokhmah that you have absorbed from Sefer Mishlei and allow it to become, quote, a configuration of your soul. Sefer Mishlei enables you to establish the proper direction, understanding, attitude, how to act and implement through your persona, your speech, your actions, between man and man, ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and God, ben adam l'makom, to be a true Torah Jew. Now one could ask, aren't many, if not all of these directives already present in Chamisha Chumshei Torah? Doesn't the Torah provide us with mitzvot, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaveiro? How is Mishlei so different? What is it contributing? If you will look at the source number 2, we learn based on a pasuk in Kohelet. As this pasuk says towards the end, regarding Shlomo HaMelech, V'izein v'chiker tiken mishalim arbe. V'izein divrei Torah v'chiker divrei Torah. Asa oznayim la Torah. Ve'at motze sha'ad shelo amal Shlomo lo hayta dugma. I'm in part 2, source 2. Ad shelo amal Shlomo lo amad Shlomo lo haya adam yachol laskir divrei Torah. וכיוון שעמד שלמה, התחילו הכל סוברים תורה. אמר רבי חנינה, לבאר עמוקה מלא המים, והיו מימיה צוננים ומתוקים וטובים, ולא הייתה בריאה יכולה לשתוק ממנה. בא אדם אחד וספק לה חבל לחבל, משיכה ומשיכה, ודלה ממנו ושתה, התחילו הכל דולים ושותים, כך. מדבר לדבר, ממשל למשל, עמד שלמה על סודה של תורה. Before Shlomo, not everyone was able to understand the secrets of the Torah. He made oznayim la-Torah, in this case ozen means a handle for the Torah. The mashal is like there are deep, sweet waters in a well that are not accessible. One ties one rope to the other, and little by little you pull up the waters. With every mashal, Shlomo unraveled, and he made more understandable, more accessible, the meaning, the secret of what Torah is all about. How do we achieve it? Notice the interesting definition for mashal in this midrash. A mashal, which is derived from the verb limshol, to compare, to establish connections, a mashal is a dugma. It is a form in all of its different genres throughout Sefer Mishle, mashal, melitza, divrei chachamim, chida. It is a mashal, that a dugma, that means a paradigm, a model, an example, an object lesson, to be able to communicate lofty ideas of the Torah in a way that is easily understandable and absorbed. Sefer Mishle takes many of the difficult, abstract, theological, religious, ideational concepts in Torah, and it brings it down to earth through graphic, clear, illustrative example lessons from everyday life to make it more accessible for everyone to understand and absorb. It's interesting that Dafka Shlomo HaMelech was chosen by Hashem through Ruach HaKodesh to adopt this literary medium, which scholars often describe as quote-unquote compressed experience in a poetic form. Why Shlomo? The Midrash helps us understand in source number 3. For Shlomo HaMelech, everything comes in threes. He has too many horses, wives, and money. So three enemies. Gimel Averot Aval, and therefore Gimel Stamim Nizdabulo, three enemies attack him toward the end of his reign. Following along where I underlined in source 3, he said Gimel Mishalot, and that is because there are three key places within Sefer Mishle which stipulate for us these are the Mishalim that Shlomo HaMelech said. He said Gimel Havalim, Hevel is one, Havalim, minimal plural, is 2. That adds up to 3. Shir Hashiri adds up to 3. And of course, he said he wrote 3 Sfarim, Shir Hashiri, Mishle, and Kohelet. The Midrash implicates that how is it that Shlomo HaMelech, and of course he has at least 3 names, how is it that he composed this pragmatic guidebook? Because he lived a very interesting life, a very diverse life. He is an international figure. Malkat Shva comes to him to ask him riddles, chidot. He has boats all around the world, international trade. He's smarter than everyone, knows science. He's a very multidimensional figure. He has lived life to the fullest, from the good to the bad. And therefore, Shlomo has decided that as smart as he is, he may need to acquire a lot more wisdom. Maybe he really hasn't figured out completely the secret of being a chacham, of what having chachmah is truly all about. So he wants to impart his life lessons to us. There are a number of unknown individuals who are mentioned as imparting wisdom sayings that are preserved for posterity in this Sefer and Tanakh. We learn about individuals towards the end, especially of the Sefer Mishle, who are known as Agul, Lemuel, Itiel. Who are these individuals? Sa'adya Gaon and Malbim say these were other wise men with whom Shlomo HaMelech came into contact, and they imparted important understandings of the Torah, which were then codified and canonized in this Sefer of Tanakh. But the Midrash says no. In source number 4, there is only one author, Shlomo HaMelech, but he acquired a number of additional names. Why? We learn in the second line where I underlined in source 4, Agul, She'agul, or Agal, Divrei Torah, Bin Yakeh, Ben Shehikia Lesha'a. כספר הזה שמתמלא בשעתו ונשפח בשעתו. כך למד שלמה תורה בשעתה ושכחה בשעתה. למואל שנם לאל בכל ליבו, אמר, יכול אני להרבות ולא לחטוא. לאיתיאל, איתיאל ואוכל, איתי כל ואוכל. Shlomo is Agur bin Yakeh. He gathered, he collected Torah, but then yaken, he spit it out. He forgot it. How is that possible to say about the Chacham Mikol Adam? We learn from Limu'el, play on words, adding in a left out silent aleph, Na'am La'el, he made a speech to Hashem. Hashem, you told me not to have too many horses, there was a reason you gave. He told me not to have too many wives, you gave me a reason. Don't worry, I won't sin. I know how to avoid these pitfalls. Itiel, Hashem, you're with me. We'll work it out. I'll never sin. Don't worry. Overconfidence like that usually doesn't work. So Shlomo HaMelech adopted an interesting poetic manner to attract our attention, to help us really learn what we should be doing and not doing. And that is why in source number 5, Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi tells us that what characterizes this sefer, וזה דרך רוב הסefer הזה, לדבר על הקצה האחרון מן ההפך, להראותך הדרך הטוב והופכו הגמור. One learns lessons in Sefer Mishlei by presenting us with binary oppositions, what we could say point, counterpoint, presenting us with two opposing figures, describing things when we choose the right path, what are the consequences and result of following that path. But Shlomo HaMelech is also going to take you down another lane when you choose the wrong path. Let's follow through. Let's see the consequences and outcomes of that decision. How do we arm the peti, the na'ar? We present him with both paths, choices, knowing their consequences. And then knowledge, not ignorance, is bliss. Then only the fool will make the wrong decision. But Shlomo is also addressing the Chacham and the Navon in Sefer Mishlei. Many Mishalim seem very simple to understand, says Shlomo, be careful. Lahavin mashalu militza divrei chachamim v'chidotam. Shlomo HaMelech says, I have adopted a poetic medium. Poetry is loaded language. There are lots of layers to peel away to understand the depth of what I mean. Many Mishalim are chidot. They are riddles. They are enigmas. They have an esoteric underlying dimension of meaning. So let's learn about the women of Sefer Mishlei. In source number part 3 on page 3, I have aligned texts that describe the evil prostitute woman or the adulteress and the good wife of one's youth. The young person is actually taught at the beginning of Sefer Mishlei. We all know the text, Shema b'ni musar avicha ve'al titosh torat imecha. Here the father is talking to the youth and he's telling the youth, stay away from that evil woman. If you look on the left-hand column, in the second line, Lishmocha me'eshetra me'chelkat lashon nochriya atachmod yofya bilvavecha v'atikachacha be'afapea ki ve'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem ve'eshet ish nefesh yikara tatzud yachte ish esh b'cheko v'gadav lo tisarafna. אם יהלך איש על הגחלים, רגליו לא תכוונה, הבעל איש את רעהו לא ינקה כל הנוגע בה. נועף אישה חסר לב, משחית נפשו יעשנה, נגע וקלון ימצא וחרפה לא תימחל. כי קינת חמת גבר ולא יחמול ביום נקם. This evil woman, this אשת רע, she has a power, the father tells his child, which you need to be aware of. Her slick tongue, her language, her speech. We are not necessarily dealing with a foreign woman when we talk about, in later contexts, the Isha Zara, Nochriya. These are individuals, this strange woman, this so-called foreign woman. It means that she's foreign to you. She's outside of your parameters and your circles. She doesn't belong to you. And you are not allowed to have relations and any connection with her. Although her beauty is mentioned here, it is really one of the only places in Sefer Mishlei that her beauty is noted. But don't be beguiled, especially by her ability to be persuasive, enticing, seductive. Don't give this prostitute woman your last loaf of bread, because in the end, that's exactly what she will demand. If she is an adulteress, an eshet ish, she is only trapping your precious soul, mashchit nafsho. If your clothes catch on fire, won't you get burned? If you walk on coals, of course you will be hurt. If you commit adultery, you will never be absolved of guilt. The adulterer has no heart, chasal lev, he has lost his mind. He's destroying himself, because in the end, on the day of vengeance, the husband will be relentless. I skipped the first line in the column. Pay attention that in the context of this admonition concerning avoiding certain women in society who use their language and beauty to beguile and seduce, to trap the unwitting male to fall into her lair, the framework of this admonition is Kineo mitzvah v'torah ol v'derech chayim tochot musar. The light you should be seeking is that of Torah and mitzvot, because that will lead you to derech chayim. So that although Sefer Mishlei aims to provide you with a literal understanding about whom this young male needs to be informed so he has olman, mizimah, foresight, and prudence to avoid her, one wonders, based on the framework of the presentation of this woman's portrayal, if in fact maybe she serves a larger symbolic, allegorical purpose within the context of the Sefer. Because the fire that she causes to burn this young man has just been countered with the fire, the light of mitzvah and Torah. Let's think about it. When we speak about the good woman in the right-hand column, we are previewed with B'ni lechokhmati hakshiva, litvunati hat ozneha, that one needs to turn one's ear to guidance and chokhmah, to avoid the pitfalls of the seductress and the prostitute. What should one do? Get married. Find a wife of one's youth. But that's not enough. Let's read. Shtei mayim miborecha, venozlim mitoch be'erecha, yafutsu mayanotecha chutza, balchovot palgei mayim, yiyu lecha levadecha, ve'en lezarim mitach, yihi mekorcha baruch usemach. Eshet urecha, ayelet aviv yalat chen dadea yiravucha b'chol et ve'avata tishge tamid. One not only has to be happy with her, says the father to his son, but simach, one needs to make her happy, to respect her, to support her, to understand she is the foundation of the household. Yihi mekorcha baruch. Look upon this woman as the source of all your joy, as a blessing for you and for all those around her. Notice she is described with the metaphor of water. Drink waters from the receptacle, waters that flow in your well. But do not forget that this woman has the power to influence and emanate from the inside outward. Yafutsu mayanotecha chutza, v'chovot palgei mayim. How can you make sure that these waters are only levadecha, for you alone? Ve'en lezarim itach, that she not seek out other strangers as an adulteress? Says Shlomo HaMelech, be'aravata tishge tamid. Based on a text in Yeshayahu Perek Chavchet, shagam means to be drunk with love for her, become so overtaken with one's love for her, and she will be loyal to you always. In the next column in Parentet, the feminine persona takes on a different guise in Sefer Mishlei. In the left-hand side, we learn about the woman of folly, the Eshet Ksilut. She roams the streets. Homia. Art School has an interesting English translation. She croons. She calls out into the street, "Ptayut, komia, ptayut, uvalia de ana." V'yashva lefetach beita. I think this might be a misquote of the text. Let me read it to you. Eshek silut. One second, please. Yes, okay. V'yashva lefetach beita kiseir merome karet. Nikol ofrei darech hamyashrim ochotam. Mi feti yasur hena v'chasar leiv. ואמרה לו, מים גדובים ימתקו ולחם סתרים ינאם, ולא ידע כי רפאים שם, בעמקי שאול קרואב. She is opening the door and looking out to the gullible, foolish individual who knows nothing. She is seeking those המיישרים אורחותם, who are trying to straighten their paths, and she is seeking to make them crooked and corrupt. She says to him, I have stolen waters, they are sweet. I have bread, secret bread. You will enjoy it so much. But as we saw, only the wife of the youth is truly described as sweet waters. But this poor young man does not know that she is bringing him down to the grave. But at the beginning of the parrot, we have another woman, point, counterpoint, an imposing figure who calls out, but who is this woman? Chachmot, banta veta, chatzva amudea shiva. Now it does not say, as we learn in Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Aleph, Chachmot nashim, banta veta v'ivelet v'yadea te'afsenu, that we're talking about a woman who builds her house. Here it says, Chachmot, wisdom herself. Lady Wisdom, wisdom personified, is acting as a female. And how interesting is it that many wisdom terms are indeed Lashon Nekeva, Chochma, Bina, Da'at, Oma, Mizima, Torah, they're all Lashon Nekeva. Lady Wisdom builds her house on seven pillars. The foolish woman did not necessarily build her house. Maybe she even stole it. What is this woman doing in her house built on seven pillars? She has prepared a meal, poured the wine, set the table, sent out her maidens. And how does she call out? Very similarly to Eshek Silut. Mi peti yasur heina v'chasar leiv amiralo. But she says to him, if you come this way, it will not be stolen bread. It will be wine that I have prepared for you, bread that I have baked for you. Let's abandon the foolish and straighten everything out. The fact that it does not say chachmot nashim, as it does say eshek silut, but only chachmot, might clue you in that Shlomo HaMelech is subtly hinting to you that there is more than meets the eye in this graphic description of these women and how they woo the petty. The Isha, Eshek Silut, or in other contexts, the Isha Zara, the Isha Nochria, is the counterpart to wisdom herself. In which case, who is she? She is an allegorical symbol who takes on much larger significance within the framework of Sefer Mishlei. Therefore, for the moment, I would like you to turn to page 4, part 4. On the one hand, in the Midrashim on these women within Sefer Mishlei, they teach us that one should analyze these texts, these anecdotes, within Sefer Mishlei from a literal perspective. For example, in Midrash Bereshit Bamidbar Rabba, in source A, source number 6, Zeh Seder Nashim, Shemazhir al Adam Lifrosh min Ha'arva Kedei Latzilo min Hamita. And notice that he is quoting new texts from, Sefer Mishlei. Remember, Kedoshim Tihiyu, Rashi says, Kedoshim min Ha'arayot. One needs to separate oneself from sexual immorality. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. We were taken out of Mitzrayim, the hotbed of licentiousness, and sexual immorality, and by being pulled out of Egypt, Hashem is sending us a message. We are not like the Egyptians. We are not like the Kanaanim, to whose land we will eventually arrive. We have to find out what we are not. We are goy mikerev goy. We are a nation that's been pulled out from another nation. And so the Midrash teaches us, based on these texts and Sefer Mishlei, that one should learn Seder Nashim and the Mishnayot, the Gemara, in order to avoid Erva. So too, the next Midrash in source number 7 teaches us that if one commits adultery, quoting you various texts from Sefer Mishlei, that if one commits adultery, one is hasar lev. Basically, at the end of the first line to the second line, mikan in adam olech etzel eshet ish ad sheyatza midaato. An individual is not an adulterer until he's lost his mind, he's meshuga. And even with regard to the woman, she has also lost her mind. As the text says in the second to last line, there's a remez in the Torah about kisron da'ata, because the text in Isha Sota says, ish ish ki tiste isho, just read it as a shin, tishte, she has shut that has entered into her, and because of that, she has lost her mind, and she herself has become an adulteress. But if we look in source number 8, the Midrash in Vayikra Rabba says, who is the counterpoint to these evil women, Eshet Ra, Eshet Ksilut, Isha Zara, Isha Machriya? Says Baal Kapara, quoting the text from Perek Tet, Chachmod Banta Beta, Chatzva Amudea Shibea, Zu Torah. Why 7 pillars? Elu Shivat Sifrei Torah. Based on the understanding that the inverted nuns, which separate various texts in the section of Vayhi in Soha Ha'amon, Bar Kapara says that in actuality there are 7 books of the Torah, not just 5. In the next source, in source number 9, we learn that Chatzva Amudea Shiva is actually referring to Hashem, if you turn to the next page, who built the world on 7 pillars, because he created the world in 7 days. The Eshet Ne'urecha, the wife of one's youth, about whom we learned in Perkei, who is she according to source number 10? Who is this woman who should be the source of one's complete love? Ayelet Avim ki HaTorah, HaKol Ohavim Ota. So therefore, one learns that in actuality, Shlomo HaMelech, by graphically describing the woman of one's youth as an allegorical symbol of the Torah herself, is really infusing into our whole religious commitment to Judaism an additional component, the emotional component. To be a committed Jew to observing Torah and mitzvot, Torah needs to pull on your heartstrings. It needs to nourish you. Dadea yeravucha. You have to be drunk in the love of Torah. That means in a positive sense. To stagger in the love so that you are so absorbed in this love. To be a good Jew, one not only has to achieve high levels from an intellectual, cognitive perspective, but every core of your being, says Shlomo HaMelech, psychologically, emotionally, needs to be completely absorbed into loving your commitment to Torah and Mitzvot. That, how does Shlomo get this message across? He uses the portraiture of Eshet Ne'urecha. So therefore, who is the counterpoint, the binary opposition of these strange, foreign, evil women of folly? Rashi, therefore, in source number 11, tells us, on the one hand, certainly, one should understand this from a literal perspective with practical guidance to the young Peti. On the other hand, says Rashi, HaTorah tishmocha me'isha shem min hagra ve'al kochacha lo diber shlomo isha ra'a ela keneged avodat gilulim shehi shkula keneged hakol she'im tomar isha zona mamash וכי כל שכרה ושפחה של תורה ששומרת מן הזונה לבדה? אלא על כן זו עבודת גילולים שהיא חמורה כנגד הכל. Who is this woman? Says Rashi, wondering, although we learn so much about avoiding immorality within the context of Sefer Mishlei, he's curious, why does this negative portrayal of a woman recur time and time again throughout Sefer Mishlei? If this is the only message of Sefer Mishlei to avoid one particular avera, avayot, why do we need a whole book with all these graphic descriptions about the wiles and the seductions of this woman? Rashi's perplexed. And therefore he says, this is really a chida. In actuality, there is a deeper level of meaning to understand who these women are and what they symbolically represent within Sefer Mishlei. Says Rashi, the Eshetma, the Eshet Sibul, the Shazara Nochriya is an allegorical symbol to anything that opposes Chochmah, i.e. Torah. For Rashi, it is Avodat Gilulim, it is Avodah Zara. But in source number 12, he tells us, who is the Isha Zara? It's the Knesia Shel Apikosut. Vihi haminut. That means he is referring to the heretics, and the heretics especially, of his day, Christianity. It is a symbolic, very colorful representation of anything that involves, as he says at the end of source 12, prikat ol shel kol ha-mitzvot. The world was built on the pillars of Chochmah. Histakel b'Torah uvara ta'olam. The Torah is Chochmah, as Rashi tells you in source number 13. She is the waters that sustain and nourish and bring forth Talmidim who can further nourish the outside world. Anything that is heresy, apikulsut, minut, prikat ol shel kol ha-mitzvot, avodat gilulim, is represented symbolically by the woman of folly, the strange woman, the foreign woman. What is interesting, however, is that there are other additional allegorical interpretations for understanding these opposing feminine figures within Sefer Mishlei. Rav Sa'adya Gaon and the Ralbag, in fact, analyze that this Isha Zona represents, in a more general way, Pituyei Ha'olam Hazeh, the enticements of trying to fulfill one's physical pleasures and satiate them in this world. The Ralbag goes further in source number 15, and he tells us the Isha Zara is the nefesh mitaveh. It's your ta'ava. It is that part of your being that lusts, desires, has strong impulses to fulfill one's physical needs. Why is this a woman portrayed as a zara v'nochriya? Says Ralbag, ki hi zara v'nochriya l'adam. If you give in to your animalistic desires to cater to the physical wants and needs of your being, to indulge in physical pleasures, then you are no longer human. It is strange to you, foreign to you, because you're acting unhuman, animalistically. And he says, for example, towards the end of the second line in source 15, that this is all promoted by your koach medameh, your imaginative faculty that conjures up in your mind images of pleasure. Remember the phrase, the word in'am. You will have no'am, pleasures, if you give into your momentary desires and impulses. Who, therefore, is this woman in source 16? She is the one, as we learn in Perek Bet, ha'ozevet aluf ne'ureha. This woman, prostitute, adulteress, abandons the master, the lord of her youth, that means her husband. Allegorically, says Ralbag, this refers to the sechel ha'enoshi. This refers to one's intellect. When one gives in to one's physical pleasures, desires, and needs, then one is forgetting one's commitment to the Seichel Enoshi. And as the Rambam tells us, when we were created, B'Tselem Elohim, what makes us distinctively human and different from all other living things is one's ability to use one's intellect to rise above the physical goof, the physical pleasures and needs, to be able to achieve high levels of spirituality. On the other hand, the Malbim in source number 17, turning to the next page, who lives in the 1800s and, in fact, is combating the Haskalah movement. He has a slightly different approach, parallel to that of Rashi, but in a slightly divergent manner with regard to the identities of these strange foreign women who are counterpoints to Lady Wisdom herself. Says the Malbim in the second line, Lefi Hamilitza, according to the allegorical meaning, Eshet Ra, this refers to HaChochmot HaMovilot Ela HaChasha BaElohut VeChelkat Lashon Nochriya Darchei Avodat Glinim Adam Sholchim VeDarchei HaGishim HaTvunim Sheze Nirmaz Tamid BeLashon Memilat Lashon Shamore Al HaBina. Let's just read the next line for the moment in his comment on Perek Zayin. Lishmocha me'isha zara. Hazara tiye gam yisraelit. Im hi eina ishto. Hanochriya hi dafka me'am acher. Lefi ha'melitza ha'iyunim hazarim el chokmat ha'torah. Nikraim isha zara. Ubechol ze yitzuya shitiya zara lo l'isha. Im yikachena b'chupa v'kidushim. וכי יצחי מצויר שישתמש בחוכמות האלה לענייני התורה. והנוכריה הם דת אמינות ועבודת הילדים שהם נוכרים לגמרי מן התורה, רק שיחליקו עם ריהם בהגשים פילוסופיים הנמשכים למינות עד שימשך אחריהם. והתורה תצילהו משהן. The Malbim claims any philosophies, forms of secular wisdom, which take you away from your beliefs in Torah Judaism, are regarded as, symbolically, this evil woman. But notice that he differentiates between the Isha Zara on the one hand and the Isha Nochriya on the other hand. Malbim never believed in synonyms. Every word has an intrinsic meaning. The Zara is a Jew. She's just not his wife at the moment. The Nochriya is truly from another nation. Allegorically, any kind of speculation, wisdom, philosophy that is strange to the wisdom, meaning outside from the context of the wisdom of the Torah, is Zara. But in some cases, it can start out as strange, outside, external to Torah, says the Malbim. But in the end, they can help enhance and contribute to our understanding of the Torah, like science, with some caveats. We can make this Isha Zara a wife with Chupa and Kiddushin. Says the Malbim, There are wisdoms, philosophies, which can be incorporated to help us understand and enhance, in fact, our commitment to Torah itself. With caution and care. Notice how at the very end of his comment, he said, HaTorah tatzileu mishneihem. But then you have the Nochriya. She represents wisdoms that are completely outside of the Torah's purview. They are truly dangerous, damaging, idolatrous, heretical, which will take you away from beliefs in the Torah. The problem is that they use very high academic jargon, very convincing philosophical arguments, and one can easily be swayed and seduced by them. So therefore, the Malbim says one needs to be very careful. Only an educated individual, as the Malbim was, can truly discern what is wisdom that is appropriate to be brought in from the outside, and what is wisdom that is really heretical and inappropriate. We will talk about this in a little moment more, but I want to mention to you that in a beautiful work by Rebbetzin and Zipporah Heller called More Precious Than Pearls on Eshet Chayim, she analyzes about a woman herself. Hayta ki anyot socher. She's like merchant ship, she brings her bread from afar. Says Rebbetzin Heller, and I quote, although we try to provide all that our family needs from within, we are all exposed to foreign cultures. Sometimes we have to take nourishment not only by what is close, but by what is far, that is foreign. The trick for the Eshet Chayil is to know what is nourishment and what is poison. Distinction is a special skill of the merchant. In this respect, her forays away from her own familiar environment are like the voyages of the astute merchant. Outside influences act as poison rather than nutrition when they overtake the desired goal and try to destroy it altogether. Foreign culture must be kept as the handmaiden serving the mistress, which is Torah. It is especially important mothers be able to take this crucial distinction and clarify the relationship between mistress and handmaiden for their children, who will inevitably be exposed to foreign influences to a greater or lesser degree as they grow and develop. So based on that, it is very interesting that if we go back to page number 3, if we compare the descriptions of the luring seductress in chapter 7 of Sefer Mishlei and those of the Eshet Chayil in the last chapter of Sefer Mishlei, there are very interesting correlations, but in a divergent manner. We read, for example, that this woman, this Isha Zara, Mishmo HaMeisha Zara Minochliya, in the fifth line of the left-hand column, that one needs to stay away from her because she is going throughout the streets late at night in order to trap the unsuspecting fool. She is soreret beveta lo yishkinu raglea pam bachutz har machavot. It's a kol pinat te'erov. She's ambushing this individual. She grabs him with her hand. Hechazikabo, nafshkabo. She's audacious and she says to him, come here. Zibchei shlamim alay ayom shilamti nedarai. I just sacrificed a korban shlamim. Who is the korban? The peti. I've come out to call out to you, and I want you to come in. Look, I have prepared for you malvadim, beautiful linens of Egyptian soft cotton. Nafti mishkavim mohalim v'kinamon, I have fragranced the bed. Let's have pleasures until morning, because the Ish, you know that man, that husband of mine, he's not around, he's gone for a while. Don't worry about it. He tatu berov likecha. She pulls him. That phrase, that word, is often used to describe pulling him like an animal to her lesson. What lesson does a seductress have? She has a lesson. Holecha chalea pitom, peti pitom. When he goes after her, he's like an ox to slaughter. Keshoret yavach yavo. Like an individual who's going to a poisonous snake. El Musar Evil. And it's like the spear is going to pierce his liver, and he has no idea what happened. V'lo yada, ki b'nafsho, that he's given up his very life. Let's interestingly pay attention that what are the first psukim that frame this text? B'ni, shmora maran, mitzvotai titzponitach, observe the mitzvot, the Torah. It should be ki ishoneinecha, like the apple of your eye. Tie the Torah on your finger, always remember it. Koshlema letzbotecha, write it on your heart. Koshlema luach libecha. Speak and think about Chochmah, she is your sister. Treat Chochmah like she is your relative. Emor la Chochmah chotiat, umoda la binatika. What do we read about Eshet Chayil? She has a home. Eshet Chayil, mi imsa? Many of us read it as a question. Who can find the Eshet Chayil? Rav Hirsch says no. Read it as a declarative. It is the woman who has been found. He who finds the Eshet Chayil, when you find her, know what a great treasure she is. V'rachot mipninim michra. What does she do? She gets up in the middle of the night, but not to ambush, but to take care of her family. She's just as aggressive. Chagra be'oz matnea. She has tremendous strength and valor and courage. Notice the military language used here. Chayil shalal lo yefsar. She has teref that she gives to her family. This is not a fragile, delicate woman. This is a woman who has tremendous strength and wants to take care of her household. She uses her hands to take care of the poor. Kapa parsa le'ani, yadia shil chalevyon. The marvadim, which is not a common term in Tanakh, that the Isha Zona used for a negative purpose. These are the marvadim that are being used in order to take care of her household, in order to make sure that everyone is properly ensconced. Oz v'hadar levusha, strength and glory, are her garment, and therefore she can laugh the last day, v'tischak liyom acharon, that she has done everything right, not to destroy, but to build up. She is a tzofia, she's Rebbetzin Heller, she's a tzofer. She guards, almost like in a military sense. She vigilantly guards her household and makes sure that halichot beita, everything going on in the household, is kedin v'kedat. Lechem atzluk lo tochel, she doesn't have bread of laziness, as opposed to the zona, who steals the bread. And that is why, as opposed to the husband of the zona, who's far away and she doesn't want to know from him, here, kamu vanea vayashruha ba'ala vayahalela. Her husband praises her. He understands that noda basharim ba'ala, that his reputation completely depends on her. If that's the case, says Rashi on the last page of this booklet, in source number 19, Rashi tells us that as important as it is to talk about the Eshet Chayil in a literal sense, as a model woman, maybe from an allegorical, symbolic perspective, understanding the whole framework and structure of Sefer Mishle with regard to the portraitures of these rather multifaceted women, that Lefi HaMashal Eshet Chayil is really the allegorical symbol of Torah herself, the Lodeha, and her students. Kamu vanea hatalmidim. Who is the Baal? Hashem, who trusts her. Sheker achen be'ever hayofi is avodat klilim, anything that takes one away from committing oneself to Torah. So therefore, it is very interesting that in actuality, if we adopt this allegorical symbol of the Eshet Chayil, of Torah herself, we see that we really come full circle to the very beginning of Sefer Mishle. Because in source number 20, we read initially, Yir'at Hashem Reshidat, the foundation of all wisdom, is first and foremost having fear of Hashem, understanding before whom you stand and to whom you will have to give a reckoning for every single action that you do, Bein Adam LaMakom, certainly, and Bein Adam LaChavero. Well, what do we learn about the Eshet Chayil? Yirat Hashem, right? He titalal. Besides the fact that, of course, we learn Torah Chesed, Al Leshona, right? Ki ha-pacha be-chochma. Eshet Chayil, in a symbolic, allegorical manner, represents Torah herself. And Chochmot, in Pasuk Chaf in Source 20, at the very beginning of Sefer Mishlei, Lady Wisdom, quote-unquote, Torah herself, wisdom personified, calls out in the streets. But in that particular context, she's very, very upset. Nobody is listening to her. The petty is loving his ptayut, his foolishness. The leitzim, the scoffers, and the mocking are mockers of Torah. The ksilim, another category of fools, yisnu'u da'at, they abhor knowledge. And she says to them, if you don't listen to my chokhmah and my tochacha, then in Pasuk Chavav, Gamani b'eitchem eschak el'ad bevo pachtechem, I will laugh, I will mock at you when you suffer the consequences of not having conducted yourselves with a life based on Chochmah, Torah, and Mitzvot. But the Eshet Chayil, the Torah herself, she can, so to speak, Vatischak liyom acharon, if one follows in the derech of Torah, then one can have a truly proper joy and jubilation towards the end of one's life, that one has truly fulfilled the goals for having been created. The Zona lo yishkinu ragle'a, she never sits still, she's all over the place. But if you listen to Chochmah, says the very last pasuk, v'shome'ali yishkan betach, you will have stability, permanence. You will feel that you are completely sha'anan, tranquil and protected from any pachad ra'ah. How fitting is it that Chochmah, Binah, Da, Torah are feminine terms? Perhaps we can really merge the literal and allegorical levels of meaning, to understand that it is the task of the woman of Am Yisrael to pass on the torch of Chochmah, of Torah, to her husband. He gets the good name, reputation, trusts in her, but to her husband, to her children. Once the family unit is solid and stable, that is really a commentary on society at large and what we can do to bring about the Geula, the Eshet Chayil, in a literal sense and an allegorical sense, can truly be merged to help us understand that the woman in Torah Judaism has a tremendously fundamental role to make sure that the house of the world continues to stand firm on its seven pillars. Thank you.